Chapter 100. The Handsome Prince and the Client. I sat on the roof watching the nameless people bustle by, the children playing leapfrog or begging or scavenging the gutters, the mothers laden with babies in sackcloth slings, two old men, arms around each other's shoulders for support, in a hobbling parody of a three-legged race, lumbering goods vehicles and speeding private carriages, laden omnibuses and the hansoms ever swooping like crows towards an outstretched arm. So much life tumbling blindly, to where? I had found the ivory box with my three cubes of opium, placed on my dressing table the night before the funeral, but I did not use them. Some pains are too sacred to numb. The gin flask lay untouched by my feet, surrounded by stubbed-out cigarettes. My case was empty. It was time to go down.
Oh, thank heavens!
Molly bawled so unexpectedly that I nearly lost my footing on the fire escape.
I thought I might have to descend that ladder to come and get you.
Did you want something? Molly sucked her thumb.
Well?
Have you come to tell me something? I added before she gave me a list of her heart's desires, including a handsome prince and a glittersome sash. Molly extracted her thumb and wiped it on her apron.
Mr. Grice requests your presence in the study,
she recited, adding in a conspiratorial whisper which was louder than her normal voice, which was more than loud enough already.
He has a customer.
Client, I corrected, for her employer hates her calling them that.
Cly ain't what?
She reinserted her thumb.
And anyway, that ain't not her name.
Why? I sighed. Does he not think that I have done enough harm already? Molly sucked thoughtfully.
I don't not think he does, she decided. Because he said you'd say no, but to tell you to say yes. And please stop crying, miss. I don't not like to see you looking so...
She struggled for the bon mot.
Ugly.
Tell Mr. Grice I shall be down in 5 minutes, I decided.
Why can't I not tell him now?
Molly was enjoying her thumb enormously.
Before I forget.
I tried again. Tell him now that I shall be down in 5 minutes.
That don't not make sense, she decided. I shall go and see if he understands.
And she trudged down the stairs, telling herself,
no wondrous he's always muttoning on about lumpy wenches.
I went to the bathroom and washed my face and hands. Then back in my room, pinned my hair whilst sucking on two Palmer violets at once. The least I could do would be to explain in person that I was not going to see any more clients. The very thought of dealing with another death tore at my shredded heart. Sidney Grice was pacing restlessly when I went down. A young woman sat in my armchair and half rose when I came in, but I ushered her down.
Mrs. Peters, this is Miss Middleton.
My guardian introduced us. He turned to me.
I should like very much to take on her case. It is intriguing, and, better yet, she is extremely wealthy. But I must go to Madrid, of all places.
Another sighting? I hardly dared ask, for he had made 6 wasted journeys throughout Great Britain so far.
A man with a scarred nose, my guardian confirmed, and squeezed my hand before he addressed his visitor again. I am obliged to leave in...
He flipped open his hunter and checked it against the mantel clock, poking his head into the hall to double-check against the grandmother clock.
10 and 19 minutes.
He declaimed that last number with great relish and propelled me towards his client. I am so sorry, I began, and held out my hand. The visitor grasped it, as if to save herself falling down a cliff, and rose. She was a tiny lady, and quite plain, with mousy hair, and I liked her instantly for that.
Oh, Miss Middleton,
she wept, and I saw that she must have been crying as much as I had.
Please make him change his mind. It is my little girl. She has gone missing, and the police can find no trace of her. I have been to 12 private detectives, including that charlatan Cochrane.
I saw my godfather beam approvingly at this description of his rival.
I have 30 men combing London, Mrs. Peters continued, and put up posters for £1,000 reward, and now I am besieged by blackmailers and idiots. But there has been no trace of her.
I am truly sorry. Sidney Grice stole the words from my mouth. But I have given my word, and lives may depend upon it.
He put his watch away and slipped his third finger through the jackal ring hanging on the chain.
But Miss Middleton will be able to help you.
Miss Middleton?
Mrs. Peters looked at me uncertainly, and I shook my head.
But of course, Sidney Grice assured her breezily. After all, she is London's premier female personal detective.
I pulled up a wooden chair and sat beside but facing the lady, and took her hands in mine. "What is your daughter's name?" I asked.
"I have much to do,"
Sidney Grice said, and left the room, but not before he had tugged the bell cord twice for fresh tea.